Hi, welcome to the Wikipedia talk. It's nice to be sitting down in a nice air-conditioned room and not fighting our way through hallways and elevators and all that. It's though, as much as I love watching the costumes at DragonCon. Oh my goodness. Okay, so I am. My name is Ilanka Doonan, and I have many hobbies, and one of them is Wikipedia. Can you guys hear me in the back? Okay. No, okay. Can you hear me now? Okay, I'm about as close to the mic as I can get. Can we turn up the volume a little bit? I'm testing. All right. So I've got a bunch of information here, a lot of statistics, or we can just kind of do the whole thing with questions and answers. It kind of depends what you guys want. So let me start off by saying, how many people here have read Wikipedia? Okay. How many people here have edited Wikipedia? Okay. How many people here have created or tried to create an article on Wikipedia? Okay. How many people have had an article stick on Wikipedia? Okay. So one of the things I can go over in this talk is maybe how to get an article to stick. There's probably about 1,500 articles created on Wikipedia per day, of which about half are deleted within 24 hours. So it's just this massive fire hose of information going through. There's currently, I think, over 4 million articles just on the English Wikipedia. If you take into account all the different languages that Wikipedia is in, there's probably something over 22 million articles right now. And so there's just a ton of information, and there's also a ton of volunteers that are trying to deal with this information that's coming in. The problem with articles being deleted is that Wikipedia is a spam magnet. People are coming in all the time and trying to create an article, Joe's used car lot, and then link to all the article from all the articles about cars to Joe's used car lot article. It's their way of trying to drive business. And so volunteers see that and they delete it. There's also a lot of vandalism. Wikipedia is a vandalism magnet. So some students will be sitting in class, they'll be bored, they'll be creating an article about their dog, about their cat, about the person next door, about the cute girl that's sitting in the next row. And so there, again, volunteers are just constantly seeing these coming through and going, delete, delete, delete. And it's almost like that Charlie Chaplin assembly line where you're going, delete, delete. And all of a sudden an article comes through that's a good faith article, but they don't really take the time to review it, and so they just delete, and it keeps going through. So if you try to create an article and it's deleted right away, don't necessarily take it personally. It's probably just that it had some sort of flag on it, that someone wasn't, an overworked volunteer wasn't taking the time to really review what was going on. And one of the things I like to do as part of this talk is kind of teach you a little bit about what those flags are and how to avoid them. And the number one takeaway for dealing with Wikipedia is sources. Wikipedia runs on sources, reliable sources, meaning something like the New York Times, something like a book from Harvard University Press, a blog, not a good source. A post in a message board, not a good source. So if your own personal website, not a good source. You want third-party sources that are published, that have a reputation for reliability and fact-checking. And if you have lots of those kinds of sources in an article, it's very unlikely to be deleted. If you don't have... Can we get a microphone? Talk
about that same New York Times that was talking last
month. No, I'm just...
I'm not talking about the thing.
Credible sources, what defines the credibility of a source?
Well, anything
because
from
New
York
Times is not...
Right.
As credible as it could be.
Agreed. No source is going to be perfect. So if something is sourced to the New York Times, to these overworked volunteers that are just dealing with this flow of articles going through, they're likely going to give it the benefit of the doubt. Unless someone comes in and challenges it. And then there's a whole dispute resolution process that comes through. The best way to deal with something like that is to have many different sources from New York Times or The Guardian or, like I said, Harvard University. Any major university will probably have some sort of a publishing arm, so something University Press. And any book that has that kind of a publisher is going to be given the benefit of the doubt. So the reviewers on Wikipedia, these volunteers, are generally not going to dig in. They're probably not going to read the source. They're just going to look at what the sources are as a first line of defense. And then can go into it deeper after that. Okay, all right. So real quick, I've been editing Wikipedia for about 8 years now. I was elected as an administrator in 2007. Admins, it's a community discussion, and admins really do not have to pass any kind of test to become an administrator. You have to show that you spend a lot of time on the project and that you generally make good edits. And then you either nominate yourself to be an administrator or someone else nominates you, and then there's a very active, dynamic discussion where people will look at your edits, sometimes very, very closely, to see, do you make good edits? Have you vandalized? Is there any chance that you might be using Wikipedia to self-promote yourself? And if you pass this community discussion, and it is not a slam dunk in any way, you become an administrator. And once you're an administrator, you're pretty much an administrator for life, with two exceptions. One is if you go around and start causing problems in the project, there are processes to remove someone as administrator. And the other is if you go inactive. And if you haven't done anything in a year on Wikipedia, it's called your bit, your administrator bit, will be flipped off. But if you then come back to Wikipedia, you can ask for that bit to be turned on again. So as long as you left under non-controversial circumstances, you can become an admin again. The status on Wikipedia is, again, not by being an administrator. That's not regarded as a status position at all. Administrators are more regarded as janitors, that they're going around and cleaning up, the mop and bucket crew. To get status on Wikipedia, one way is through number of edits, how much work you're doing on Wikipedia. So anyone who's done less than 100 edits is generally regarded with suspicion. Why are you here? Are you here for your own purposes? But as you get to 100 edits, 500 edits, 1,000 edits, then the community, which is really kind of a hive mind, starts trusting you a little more, because they can easily look at your name and see how many edits have you done, and then they're going to look at what kinds of topic areas that you work in, and they're going to look at have you created articles, and then the real status in Wikipedia comes from the quality of the articles that are created. Articles can be boosted in level, sort of like levels in a game, that you have a stub class article, start class, and then as you have more and more peer review in an article, it goes up through good status. And the highest level status for an article is what's called a featured class article. This is an article that has gone through so much review, it's regarded as capable of being bannered on the front page of Wikipedia. And editors will often compete to see who can create the more featured class articles. But it can take months, it can take a year, sometimes more than a year, to go through all those levels of peer review. I have a few featured class articles. Some people in the administrator review discussions will say if someone doesn't have at least one FA featured article, then they're not going to vote for them to be an administrator, because they say they don't really understand what it's about. So this is just a sample of the main page of Wikipedia. So at that top left where it says today's featured article, there's a lot of competition. There's huge status within the hive mind to have an article that you created and you got through the review process into that spot. It changes each day. So again, this is featured articles. So this will last for about 24 hours. You can see the other articles that have been featured recently. Some of the wiki news over here, things that have happened this day, this is repeating. And this is the DYK, the Did You Know section. There's also a lot of competition to get an article into DYK. To be eligible, it has to be a new article, it has to be of a certain minimum length, it has to be properly sourced, and again, it has to go through a basic peer review process. I've had a few DYKs, and there's some editors that's all they do is they're constantly looking for new topics that they can write articles about so they can get an article into the DYK section on the main page. Any questions so far? Okay. All right. So at the top of each Wikipedia page, and I'm going to back up just a little bit here, you've got these tabs. And these tabs may be on the left, they may be on the right, it depends on which skin you're using. But you're generally going to see a discussion tab. And if you click on that discussion tab, for every page on Wikipedia, there's a discussion page. It could be a discussion page for an article, a discussion page for the main page, discussion page for a policy discussion. And this is the behind the scenes part of Wikipedia, where people will go in, you'll have the topics will be created, and then the newest will generally be at the bottom. There will be threads, and again, the newest comment will be at the bottom. And that's where, if there's a dispute, the first line of defense on a dispute where editors are trying to figure out what to do with an article is take it to the talk page, take it to the discussion page.
In other words, if you want to make a change, you add something. looking at. In other words, if you add something to an article or add something to a page, and you don't go into the discussion area to talk about your change, or even just say, hey, I made a change, and this is what I put in, they assume that you're not, you don't want to defend it or something?
It's a good question that has many different answers. Another big thing to know about Wikipedia is that it's a major project with many people working in many different topic areas, and it's horribly, horribly inconsistent. That's takeaway number two from this talk. Wikipedia is inconsistent. You might do something in one topic area that might have to do with medieval history, and you make a change to an article, and nobody challenges it, and you go on, and life goes on. And there might be another topic area of Wikipedia, say, September 11th conspiracy theories, where you go in and you make one change to fix a typo in a source, and immediately someone reverts you and takes it to the talk page and says, I don't agree with this, and you immediately have to get into a discussion about it. In general, the rule is be bold. Make a change. If you see something that needs changing on Wikipedia, make the change. Don't worry about discussing it. Don't worry about explaining it. Just change it and go on. If it's challenged, then you go into this other, then you start going into dispute resolution techniques. And a challenge might be as simple as someone saying, posting on the talk page, like, hey, you know, are we sure that's true? Do you have a source to back up that information? Or they might go to the article itself and they might add a little template, which is a fact tag saying, requesting source. Everyone here who's read Wikipedia has probably seen these little tags through the article saying,
say citation requested or citation reviewed or something like that.
Yeah. Now, if you're the one that changed the article and you happen to be reading the article later and you see that tag, you can add a source. It doesn't have to be you to add the source. Someone else may see the tag and go, oh, I can add the source. If no one's adding a source for a period of time, a week, sometimes months, again, it's very inconsistent, then anyone is allowed to remove the information if it's not sourced. The burden of whether or not to keep information in an article, the burden is on the person who adds the information to the article, that there should be a source. If there's not a source, theoretically, anyone who wants can go in and just delete it immediately. But the etiquette is usually to add a tag or to go to that editor's talk page and say, hey, can you add a source, or to bring it up on the talk page. In some way, let people know that you'd like to challenge the information.
Yeah, because you don't know, without a tagged source, you don't know if this is a factual piece of information or just somebody's thoughts on it.
Right. And that's a very common problem on Wikipedia, is people will add information from their own personal knowledge. And that is against Wikipedia rules. Wikipedia runs on sources. Every single thing in Wikipedia should be sourced. There's a lot of information on Wikipedia that did come from personal knowledge and it just hasn't been challenged. But because it hasn't been challenged doesn't mean it's permanent and it's okay for it to stay there. Anyone else is allowed to come along and say, I'm challenging this, show a source. If you don't show a source, I'm going to delete it from the article. And policies are going to be on the side of the person who wants to remove it.
Okay. Sources for a moment, please.
Okay.
Okay. Books, we all know, quote, books are allowed to be a source.
Most books, not all books. There's it depends on the publisher of the book. If a book is self-published, it's
a question,
it's a scale.
Mark.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if somebody self-publishes a memoir, okay, that's me saying, hey, this is my autobiography, I wrote this, and if you want to cite what I wrote in my autobiography, you're citing what I wrote. But
yes.
the question there is becomes, you know, okay, but do we have counterexamples like a small town newspaper that printed that, oh, you gave a talk over at the school that day or something. You know, it doesn't have to always be New York Times or Chicago Tribune, but my question actually comes into is, okay, we have books, we have newspapers, magazines, printed material. What about stuff that's really only published online? And by that I mean, like, let's say Time Magazine, they do an article, and then they have a second article that's only published online, which relates to the first one, but they just didn't put it in the magazine because of space reasons. How do you do that if you don't know if that article is going to actually be up on Time's website a year from now, because they might have removed it or changed it.
That's fine. A source does not have to be in print. It does not have to be online. It needs to be accessible in some form. So you could say, I'm sourcing this to Time Magazine. It was on their website, March 30th, 2011. This is the person who wrote it. This was the title of the article. That's a valid source. As long as some other editor who wants to review that source has some way of getting it. Maybe it's not online, but if they go to a major library database that maintains archived copies of Time, or it needs to be accessible in some way, even if it's only in hard copy at a major library. If other editors cannot get at that source, if you source something and say, oh, I'm sourcing it to this article, which was only in this one newsletter, and there's only three copies of the newsletter, and they're all in some guy's safe in Manhattan, that's not a valid source, because a diligent editor cannot really get at that source to review what it said.
Okay, thank you. I was just wondering, because I'm having arguments with a professor of mine about Wikipedia and sources, and I'm like, I think Wikipedia is great to get a general outline of things. Mm-hmm. She's like, you can't source Wikipedia. And I'm like, well, you source the sources in Wikipedia.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And you can source Wikipedia, but if you do, you should source Wikipedia with a timestamp and say, there's a link you can get, and I'm not sure if I'm hooked up to actually be on the internet here, but you can get something called a permalink. So if you source Wikipedia, you want to use that permalink, and I'm saying I'm sourcing Wikipedia as it was printed on July 17th, 2010 at 3:15. Here's a link to what the article looked like at that particular moment in time. But I wouldn't source it to say this is fact. I would source it to say this is what Wikipedia said at that moment in time. It's a subtlety on how you're sourcing.
So if I'm sourcing something and I get a permanent link and I say, at this time, it tells me this, so that's where I'm going from. And you go back to look at it a week later and somebody's changed it all. I can say, but look, at the time I was sourcing it on this information, you tell me that it's changed, okay, I might have to change my paper, but when I wrote my paper, this is what it said.
Yep, it's up to the professor as to what they'll accept. The general rule of thumb is don't source Wikipedia, source the sources that Wikipedia lists. Yeah, question over there.
Really worried about that, then there are multiple sites that you can just use to just download a website to your computer, and then you have that permanent record of it at that point in time. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, there's a way to get a complete snapshot of everything on Wikipedia. It's a hefty file, but it's possible to get it. Okay, yes.
I just had a question about when you have different articles that are more easily edited versus articles that are locked for specific reasons because of causing flame bait.
We call it protection, but yeah.
Yeah, protection. Mm-hmm. What determines who is allowed to edit it, and also what determines an article? It's like, we should really keep an eye on this to make sure people don't just, you know, cause too much negative information being spewed.
Okay, excellent question. There's different levels of protection. In general, articles on Wikipedia are supposed to, Wikipedia is the encyclopedia that anyone can edit. And so the general state, the natural state of any article is that anyone can edit, even if they're adding dumb stuff. That's just the rule. If an article is really being targeted, maybe because it's something's going on in the news, or there's some real world event that occurred, you know, an earthquake or Miley Cyrus or you know, whatever's going on. An article can be put, and it's getting too many invalid edits that violate policy. An article can go to a state of either what's called semi-protection or full protection. Full protection means nobody can edit the article. It is locked down. Administrators can still edit the article. So if somebody really wants to add information to the article, they can go to the discussion page and say, please make the following change, and then an administrator will come in. It'll flag it, and it'll go into a category that an administrator may or may not, again, they're all volunteers, will go in and review the edit. If they agree with the edit, then they'll go ahead and make the change. Or they might go to the talk page and say, I'd like to see discussion about this edit, and have some other editors weigh in saying, yeah, you know, I like this edit. No, I'm against that edit. So they may not respond for a week, a couple days to see if anyone else has an opinion. If no one offers an opinion, then generally they'll say, okay, nobody's challenging it, and then they'll put the edit into the article. There's also, between anyone can edit and full protection, there's what's called semi-protection. Semi-protection is when only established editors can edit an article. So someone who's trying to edit anonymously, so they're just an IP address, won't be able to edit the article, or someone who only has a few edits will not be able to edit the article. They'll have to go through this discussion page technique. As for when an article goes on protection, any administrator can protect an article. Any editor who's not an administrator, there's a place you can go on Wikipedia to request that an article be protected, but there's going to need to be a valid reason for it to be protected, that it's under some sort of edit wars, that it's being vandalized frequently, that it's part of a group of articles that are being targeted, or something like that. And protection is generally never, ever, ever permanent. I'm working with an academic right now who's saying, my biography on Wikipedia, it was being vandalized, we've got it fixed, I want it protected so no one can ever change my article. I want it to stay like that. And I had to tell him, sorry, that's not how Wikipedia operates. Articles need to be open to edit. And there's also this constant flow of maintenance edits that are going through. Categories are being tweaked, date format is being changed. There may be something in the article that could have been hyperlinked to another article, but that article didn't exist, but now it does exist, so somebody needs to go in and change those links. So it's just constantly being changed. Answer your question?
Yeah, I was just kind of curious about protection like that, because I do like to, you know, explore and learn about things on Wikipedia, and I'm always like, what causes an article to become protected? I mean, some of them are pretty obvious, like any current person in any administration seems to be instantly protected.
Politics.
Along with like certain religions and things like that, where they're really protected, which I think is nice, because then it doesn't cause like chaos and people just spewing natter, mm-hmm. rather than actually having a discussion about it. But I was just kind of curious of how the mechanics of that worked.
Yeah. And to go back to your question from earlier, if you're going to be sourcing a Wikipedia article or you're looking at a Wikipedia article, be aware that it might have been vandalized like 2 seconds before you looked at the article. So it's usually a good idea to look at the history of the article. So this is what I have here. Along with the discussion tab, there's also a history tab. And you can look at every single change that's been made to every article ever in the history of Wikipedia. You can see the date and time it was done, who made the change, if they put an edit summary, you can see what the edit summary is. And then you can go and see exactly what they changed. And we deal with this a lot with vandals. It'll be someone saying, oh, I'll go change this one word in one article and no one will ever notice. No, it gets noticed. We have tools that we can see what's been changed. And we have bots that are regularly scanning Wikipedia looking for vandalism. And they're getting more and more sophisticated. I have a biography on Wikipedia, an Ilanka Dunin art. Biography, and it's just vandalized all the time. It's just something that you have to accept. I've been declared dead a couple times. I've been declared HIV positive. And generally, when someone's adding this information to the article, the bots generally catch it. I don't even have to say, hey, it's already fixed before I can even bring it up. Okay. Griefers, people who are bored.
Do they know you?
Some of them do, some of them don't. There was a game I was playing that had two teams, blue versus green, and I'm on green team, and someone went to my bio and said, oh, Ilanka said go blue. Yeah, it's stupid, but they can, so they do. Yeah. Over here.
I don't know if you can properly answer this, but how did y'all Wikipedia properly handle it, kind of the explosion of traffic that y'all have had over the past, you know, 5 to, you know, whatever years?
Mm-hmm. Have we handled the...
How have you gone about handling that? Because, I mean, that's kind of like a huge amount of traffic influx, especially since in the time you guys started as an administrator.
Well, yeah. It was a culture shock. Wikipedia went from a good idea that had some editors who were kind of all knew each other, and it was sort of like a multiplayer game where you start... Sometimes you're in a game and you kind of know all the other players of the game, and all of a sudden the game becomes popular and hundreds and thousands of people start pouring into the game, and all of a sudden there's people playing you don't know. And there's a lot of interesting psychological factors that come into play with a suspicion of new people and trying to figure out who you can trust and who you can't trust. But the policies are there, and Wikipedia has certain killer policies, and one of those policies is things have to be sourced, reliable sources, and verifiability. Anything that's being added to Wikipedia has to be verifiable. There's what's called the NPOV policy, which is neutral point of view. Any article should strive to not, if there's multiple points of view, the article should strive to represent all major points of view, not one point of view. The goal on Wikipedia is not to decide a dispute on any topic, but to describe the dispute of any topic so that the readers of Wikipedia can then read the article, understand that there's different points of view, and then make up their own mind. Hardware-wise, there's the Wikipedia is run on servers that are owned by the Wikimedia Foundation, and it's donors and volunteers and doing the best they can.
Like internal disputes among administrators, whatever. Do you have an HR person or someone who's like a?
It's not HR, but okay. Let's say that there's a really messy dispute having to do with something to do with conspiracy theories, paranormal, Israel-Palestine. Another hot topic area that I know quite a bit about is Eastern Europe, because the borders in Eastern Europe have changed. They're constantly flowing back and forth, and it's a really messy history. So names of things are one of the big dispute areas on Wikipedia. Say that there's a border town between Hungary and Slovakia, and there's a river that runs through that border town. And the general rule on Wikipedia is what should the article about that river be called, the Hungarian name or the Slovakian name? And the rule is whichever country that the river is in, well, that's the name, so it should have the Hungarian name if the river's in Hungary. But say that river is also going through Slovakia. Okay, then there's going to be a dispute about that. And then suppose it's in Hungary, but the town that the river is in has a primarily ethnic Slovakian population who routinely call it by the Slovakian name, even though it's in Hungary. And you get these really messy things going on. And then it escalates even further, because if there's a dispute, even though there's articles on Wikipedia in hundreds of different languages, the Hungarians can write an article and call things by the Hungarian names, and the Slovakians have a Slovak Wikipedia where they can call things by the Slovakian names, but they still see the English Wikipedia as like the central Wikipedia of the world, and so they'll often get into disputes on the English Wikipedia. So if a dispute shows up, and there's a Hungarian editor in the dispute and a Slovakian editor in the dispute, and then things aren't going their way, well, the Hungarian will go back to the Hungarian Wikipedia and say, hey, we're having a dispute on the English Wikipedia. Come on over and help me with the dispute. And the Slovakian, and we'll go back to Slovak Wikipedia. Hey, I need help on the English Wikipedia. And so you'll have these new editors to the English Wikipedia that come pouring in. And then if the dispute is going on and they're edit warring, and then they go to the administrator notice board and say, hey, help us, and the administrators will see this wall of text with people with poor English going back and forth, and they won't want to deal with it. So there was actually a task force created, I think in 2008, it was dealing with cultural disputes and ethnic wars, and they put together a task force, the arbitration committee, and I'll talk about the arbitration committee in a sec, and I was one of the people invited to be on that task force and to try and come up with policies on how to deal with those cultural disputes. And what it basically boils down to is there's no authoritative decision going to be made on Wikipedia about how an article should be. Articles, disputes are handled by consensus. So if there's a dispute on how the river should be named, it's expected that the editors are going to go to the discussion page and work it out, come up with some sort of a compromise. As an administrator, and I don't know all the sources, and I don't speak Hungarian, I don't speak Slovak, but as administrator, what I'm going to be doing is looking at the talk page and seeing, are the editors discussing things in good faith? Do they seem open to compromise? And if I identify an editor who says it's going to be this way, you can't change it, all of you are stupid, I'm going to go, okay, you are no longer allowed to participate in the discussion. The rest of you continue discussing things. Now, that'll work if I'm the only administrator. Now, let's say another administrator comes in and they've got a strong opinion, Hungarian, Slovakia, or whether or not that editor was really being controversial or not, and now we have a dispute between administrators, which is what you were talking about. At that point, the policy is that I and this administrator, I'll call them Admin Joe for a name, are supposed to engage in a discussion, perhaps in some sort of a different discussion page, and come to a consensus among ourselves. And consensus is not going to be a vote. It's more like a pizza principle. Say we're going to order a pizza, and half the room wants mushrooms on the pizza, and half the room wants pepperoni. You go, mushrooms, pepperoni, what do we do? Well, you get a pizza. It's half mushrooms and half pepperoni. That's consensus. Everyone is represented. As administrators, if we start getting heated and we're no longer open to compromise, then things can bump up where we can start doing requests for comments and bring in other editors, other administrators to be involved in the discussion. And if an administrator is violating policy, then you can start getting into these techniques where the community can remove the admin bit from someone. And if it's just a completely intractable dispute, you've gone through request for comment, you've gone through mediation, and the dispute is continuing, then it goes to the highest level on Wikipedia, which is the arbitration committee. And this is a group of about 10 people who have to run for a position, so they're elected by community vote. They're generally elected for 2 to 3 year terms, and they deal with the messiest disputes on Wikipedia. They still do not rule on content. Very important. They never, ever rule on content. They only rule on user conduct. Is someone discussing things in good faith? Is someone using good sources? Are they representing those sources fairly? Someone may have a big stack of sources, but they're cherry-picking things from the sources, or they're saying, well, this source says that, and this source didn't say that. Those are the kinds of things that the arbitration committee will dig into, and if necessary, say, okay, this editor is not using sources fairly. They are no longer allowed to edit that article, or they are no longer allowed to edit in that topic area, or they are no longer allowed to edit on Wikipedia, period. Administrators have some power to remove editors, but the arbitration committee is really the last stop. No.
Yeah. When there's disputes with edits and when you have issues where, you know, multiple edits are happening and you might roll one back or remove it, are those just removed or archived?
If an edit is removed, reverted, it's still in the history. 99.99% of the time it's still in history. There's ways that we can go in and completely remove it from history. If something really bad happened, like say a vandal went in and said, here's Britney Spears' phone number, and it's there in the history. So we'll remove that so that you still can't go into the history and see it. But those situations are very, very rare. So if an article gets into a dispute and say the house was red, and someone says, no, the house was blue, and they go, no, it was red. And so they're just reverting each other, and it's going back and forth. We call that a revert war. And the rule is you can make no more than 3 reverts to any article in 24 hours. It's called the 3RR, the 3 revert rule. And if someone reverts more than 3 times, accidentally or on purpose, they are blocked from the project. Boom. And it's for a limited period of time, but it happens all the time. We have a whole discussion board where you can do what's called the 3RR report, saying, we were edit warring, they went over 3, they were at 4, block them, and no question. It's a bright line. Someone will be blocked immediately.
One other quick question.
Sure.
Is how do you respond to a lot of pop culture and popular topics that might spring up overnight and, you know, these articles just coming out of the woodwork, just growing like crazy? And do you have to handle those with different gloves than you do with other articles?
Coming back to Wikipedia is horribly inconsistent. In general, say something happens and a private citizen is suddenly in the news for something big that went on, and the article grows rapidly. It's kind of a thing of beauty to watch an article grow from like nothing to this full multi-page, multi-source images and everything going on. After things calm down a bit, then other editors may come in and go, okay, this was in the news for a while, but it's really not something that needs to be part of the historic record. And then an article will go through what's called an AFD, an article for discussion, or article for deletion discussion. And calmer heads will hopefully prevail at that point. At the time, I mean, some editors will jump in and say, no, we shouldn't do it, and because it's all chaos and going on, and other editors will take the longer view. And there's essays about this on Wikipedia, that there is no deadline for Wikipedia. an article is never in a static state. It's going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to change. But sometimes they'll be removed from the project. And just take the long view. If an article's wrong today, it's like that comic strip about, oh, my God, something's wrong on the Internet. eventually things will sort themselves out. 95% of the time, things sort themselves out. And the times they don't, there are mechanisms to go in and fix those at the time. Microphone?
For articles that are removed, mm-hmm. Those are kept in history as well. So if the guy writes an article about his cat and it gets deleted, but let's say a year from now his cat got picked as the new Kibble's cat, you know?
Meow, 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 meow. Okay, right.
Exactly. The original article, he can still go back and get it if he wanted to.
He could, at that point, if the cat were suddenly notable, and notability is a big topic on Wikipedia, if the cat became notable, there would be a bunch of new sources, and the article would just be recreated. It wouldn't really be necessary to pull it out of history.
Okay. I'm basically wondering, like, if I said, you know, if an article was created, say, January 1st, 2007, called Mothership, and it got deleted in February 2007, and then in 2010, a new band called Mothership came up. Totally different group, et cetera, and so forth. Totally different thing. But the old 2007 Mothership is still there. If somebody's like, I remember something about Mothership from 2008. I know it was there. And it's not this band from 2010.
Right.
So it is there in the history. It's just a matter of you have to go back and find it.
Right. And what you could do, say someone put a lot of work into this Mothership One band, and they felt that the band had changed names and was worthy of an article. They didn't want to recreate everything. They just wanted to work from what they'd created in 2007. You can go to administrator and say, hey, can you go into the deleted edits and recreate that article for me, but not as an article. Create it as like a subpage of my user space. So like my name's user colon Ilanka, and so I could make user colon Ilanka slash draft or mothership draft or mothership or something, but it's in what's called my user space and not in the article space. And then you can edit it and do what you want to the article, and then if you think it's worthy of being posted in article space, again, you could contact administrator and say, hey, is it worthy of being an official article now? And someone might say yes, and then you or someone else would move it, and then it would be an article. It couldn't stay forever in user space, but you would be allowed some leeway time to try and maybe add sources to it or do whatever was necessary to make it more of a viable article than it was when it was first deleted.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay. And if it turned out that there was this Mothership 1 band and Mothership 2 band and they both had articles on Wikipedia, they would be disambiguated. So a disambiguation page would be created called Mothership and say, oh, you've typed the name Mothership. Do you mean Mothership band created in 2007 or Mothership band created in 2012? And then there would be two different articles, which might be Mothership 2007 band or Mothership Maryland band or some way of distinguishing between the two.
I run into a lot of the disambiguous stuff where it's like I type in Beatles, and it brings up the
The music band? Do you mean the insect?
Well, the thing is, maybe I'm actually wanting to do the little crawly things with the gold color on them, you know. And then some people say they're scarabs, not beetles.
Yeah,
but
that's
the same thing.
That's another dispute area on Wikipedia, is anything to do with botanical or animal kingdom identification, because you may think that there's only one Latin name for a particular bug, but no. There's entirely different classification systems, and so that's something else that's had to be worked out by consensus as to how to title those articles.
Yeah,
lots of those. Okay, any other questions at the moment? Yep. This was just a bunch of statistics. I won't go over all of them in detail, but yep. Let's see, I think I went over that. This is kind of a comparison of Wikipedia with some of the other large websites and the budget. So like Google, you know, with a 900 or probably a billion users at this point, revenue of $23 billion, 24,000 employees, servers, over a million servers, and compare that at the bottom to Wikipedia with a half a million users, revenue of $20 million, 73 employees, and server count of 370. So those of us in Wikipedia are kind of proud of what we do with how little we have in order to do it. And because Wikipedia is just such an amazing resource.
For the employees, those are their full-time positions.
There are full-time employees.
The administrators, it's just donation of their time and like a secondary type of activity.
Right. And there's definitely a distinction between the Wikipedia or Wikimedia Foundation employees versus those who are working on the encyclopedia themselves. And I've met some of these people at conventions. And the people at the foundation very rarely, if ever, work on articles. They're much more focused on the business aspect of things, marketing, keeping the servers running, running events in different countries, making Wikipedia available to universities, and that side of it. Whereas I've talked to employees and said, oh, did you follow the dispute that was happening over the Muhammad article? And they're just blank. It's completely different from their particular mission. Okay. All right. Size comparison. This was done in July 2013. If you were to take every article on the English Wikipedia and print it out, it would be equivalent to 1,910 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica. So some people may think Wikipedia, oh, it's like bigger than the Library of Congress. Like, no, it's probably equivalent to a couple rows in one of the stacks of Library of Congress. Yep. Right. Growing, continuing to grow quickly. And you can get a lot of interesting statistics. This is from a site called stats.grok.se, where you can check on any article on Wikipedia and see how many times it's being visited per day. And this is for the Jerusalem article, and typically it's getting about 4,000 visitors per day. If there's something in the news going on, that'll of course spike. And there's many articles on Wikipedia that'll get like one or two total. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. If you can see that, I'll just talk loud. If you can, or you still want to record, don't you? Or, oh, I'm good? Okay. All right. So this is, I found this kind of amusing. This is what readers are looking for in different language projects. So the column on the left here, where's my little... Right, column on the left, that's English Wikipedia. So pop culture is like the top thing that people are looking for. Next one is, I think, China, and then Japan, France, Germany, Russia, Spain, and HI. What's HI? Anyone remember? Okay. It's not Hawaii, but Haiti, maybe? Okay. So interesting, the third one, Japan, is really using Wikipedia for researching pop culture, and not so much other things. I thought the sex thing was interesting, you know, from the English, and then what the Chinese are using Wikipedia. The French or the Japanese don't seem to be interested in sex on Wikipedia. Over here, the Russians are getting a lot of their information on. I think there's categories in Wikipedia, so that's, I'm not entirely certain, but that's my guess, is they kind of looked for the categories of different articles. Geography, definitely going France, Germany, Russia, and again, that goes back to that Eastern European thing, and people are very interested in the little towns and the rivers and everything, whereas English, yes, some geography, but not as much. Sorry? Yes, Spain, the Spanish. They already got it all figured out.
Okay. And then in France either.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
Only in the Champagne region of France.
All right. So let me see. Arbitration committee. Yeah, I already told you about that. This is just an example of arbitration cases. This I just snapshot from 2009. So some of the topics that had to go as far as the arbitration committee were a Man in Black, ADHD, Obama articles. Let me see, Macedonia, Tang Dynasty, Scientology was in there somewhere. So sometimes it'll be something that you would expect because it's big in the news, and sometimes it'll just be, you'll have something about some aspect of medieval history or Turkish geography that's just got people just debating it, and they've gotten into a dispute, and they just can't seem to resolve it, and it has to go as far as the committee. There's a newsletter that comes out once a week called the Wikipedia Signpost. It's an online newsletter. I have it added to my user page, so each time I go to my user page, I can just kind of see what's being discussed. And it might just say, what are things that are being voted on in the project right now? What is the arbitration committee doing at the moment? Administrators, as of this month, there's 1,438 administrators on Wikipedia. They can do things like delete and undelete pages, protect and unprotect pages, block and unblock users. Most of them have never had any training in community management or in dispute resolution. Most of them don't get involved in disputes at all. They're really more on the mop and bucket side. So they're, if a page has been tagged for deletion, they go and tag it. They may not review the pages themselves. Other volunteer editors may be looking at this stream of articles going through saying, okay, delete this one, that one, that one, and then an administrator will follow along saying, oh, it's been tagged for deletion, and just delete, 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 but they may not have done the actual review of it. This is a new slide for me. This was self-reported on contributors to Wikipedia by gender, age, education, relationship, and family, showing that the regular contributors to Wikipedia tend to be male. They tend to be, I found this really interesting. Under the age of 18 was a massive part of this column. 18 to 22, 23 to 30, and then 31 and up for that last one. In terms of a degree, primary and secondary education, about half of the regular contributors to Wikipedia. Undergraduate, master's, PhD. So if someone has a perception that most of the people on Wikipedia are PhDs, older PhDs, no. Most of them are going to be younger students who just have a lot of free time and happen to be on the project. One of the problems on Wikipedia is that if a dispute comes up, it's probably going to be won often by whoever has the most free time to get involved in the dispute, to be adding their sources, to make their arguments. And if a PhD is participating on Wikipedia, they probably have other things that they need to be doing rather than arguing with a 14-year-old on Wikipedia. So very often they'll just throw up their hands and they'll walk away, which doesn't mean that the articles on Wikipedia are poor articles. The system still works. It's just there's many smart teenagers working in good faith. They have library cards, so they have access to the massive databases that you can get from your libraries. And they go in and they review sources and they want to write good articles. And I've seen some amazing stuff come out of 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds. And I've seen PhDs come to Wikipedia and write some really bad stuff too. So it's a meritocracy in that respect. What can you do on the project? In real life.
Yeah.
Mine?
Yeah.
I make computer games.
I was just asking what her job is in real life. I'm curious.
And I'm giving talks on other topics. I make computer games. We have a website, play.net. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be showing a demo of our latest game we're working on called Dragons of Alanthea. I am not. But we have people right now who are at PAX over in Seattle right now. I'm getting emails saying, oh, this review came out, this review came out. I haven't had a chance to read them yet. I also write books on cryptography. And I've been a consultant to the author Dan Brown, who wrote the book Da Vinci Code. He actually named a character after me in one of his novels, The Lost Symbol. There's a character named Nola K, which is an anagram of Ilaka. And I've written about 500 articles on Wikipedia. And I just have a very short attention span, I think. So I'm always going to different topics. And am I a developer? I am a developer. I'm a manager. I'm a programmer. I'm a writer. I'm not an artist. Don't ever ask me to draw anything ever. Not good at sewing. You don't want to hear me sing. But yeah, I'm a developer. Okay. Good. Any other questions? Okay. Let's see. I can get the mouse there. There we go. I think I already did that. Kind of covered that. Yeah, an administrator who goes into a dispute really has to have a thick skin, because editors that are actively involved in a dispute are going to look with suspicion on anyone new in the dispute. And if an administrator comes in, that administrator is going to be attacked immediately, verbally. Oh, you're biased. Oh, you're not a good administrator. Oh, look at this thing you did 3 years ago. I'm going to get you desysopped. And sometimes it even goes into real world harassment. I'm going to figure out your home address. I'm going to call your boss and tell him you're surfing Wikipedia. It gets ugly. So you just, anyone who wants to be, is anyone here an administrator on Wikipedia? Has ever been an administrator? It's something to be aware of, that it's work, and it can be very emotionally draining. I was already paranoid, so that was. Okay. This was an example of a dispute on Wikipedia. I don't know if there's anyone who's Muslim in the audience, but I just wanted to give a caveat, because I'm going to be showing something that some Muslims find offensive. So just telling you. And this was a major dispute on Wikipedia, article about Muhammad. Typically an article about a figure, a religious figure, or any kind of biographical article will have a picture on the top of the article. Well, in Islam, a picture of Muhammad is considered sacrilege. They do not use pictures of Muhammad. They don't use pictures of anyone, really. You walk into a mosque, and it's not like a Christian church where you're going to see images of saints and statues. You walk into a mosque, there's no statues. All it is calligraphy. And beautiful architecture, beautiful calligraphy. So on the Wikipedia article, there was a big dispute about how should we represent Muhammad. And there are images that have been made, usually by other cultures, about what they thought that Muhammad looked like. Frequently they were working from images of Christian figures and then trying to make it look more Muslim. And they would do these really beautiful, beautiful figures. So I'm going to show you a couple of those. Sometimes what they would do to honor the sense of not showing Muhammad is that they would veil his face. So if you see him, you'll see him there, or sometimes being represented as a flame. But there were a few cultures. One of the cultures was when the Mongols came through, and then some of the Mongols in one section of the Mongol Empire were converting to Islam, and they were creating these books for the ruling elite that kind of showed the history of, they were combining the history of the Mongol Empire and the history of Islam. And so they were showing actual figures in some of the miniatures. So there are a few miniatures which purport to show Muhammad, but again, it's not an accurate depiction. This is from a story about the rebuilding of the Kaaba. The Kaaba is that cubical building in Mecca that all Muslims face when they pray. And it's been destroyed from time to time, whether it be a war or a flood or something. And there was a case where the Kaaba was destroyed, and there's a very famous stone in the Kaaba, the Black Stone. And as the story goes, as the Kaaba was being rebuilt, all the tribes were competing as to who could place that most famous stone into the Kaaba. Each tribe wanted to have that honor. And Muhammad was acting as a peacemaker and saying, well, here's what we'll do is we'll lay out this tapestry and we'll place the black stone there, and members of each of the ruling tribe will each take a part of the tapestry and they will all lift it together, and then Muhammad with his own hands placed the black stone into the Kaaba. And it's a wonderful story of Muhammad as a peacemaker. However, this image is very controversial because it shows a face, whether or not it's an accurate face. But there were some editors on Wikipedia who were saying, okay, we don't have many images of Muhammad. This is one of them. That's the one that should be on the top of the Wikipedia article. Other editors were saying, no, it's not neutral, it's not representative, it's offensive. And others saying, well, but Wikipedia isn't censored. We're not going to be worried about whether or not something is or not sensitive to another culture. And this debate just went on for years. And I was actively involved in this debate as well. And what we finally came up with after requests for comment, discussions, and mediation is we came up with something that I'm relatively happy with, is that we put the calligraphy version of Muhammad's name on the top of the Muhammad article, which I feel was a fair discussion. And it kind of reached that consensus, that pizza principle. if you scroll down farther in the article, there will be a section saying depictions of Muhammad that talks about this dispute about images, and then you click on that and it'll take you to a page that will list these other images and show these images. But it gives sort of someone who's just going to the article isn't immediately going to get this image of Muhammad in their face. So that's just an example of one of the disputes. Another dispute was this city called Gdansk that at one point was Danzig, and before it was Danzig, it was Gdansk, and before it was Gdansk, it was Danzig. And so the Polish editors want it one way, the German editors want it another way, and because it's flipped back and forth, it was a really messy dispute. And what they finally came up with, and there were reliable sources for both sides, so what they finally came up with was this this template that is to be placed on every article that has anything to do with Danzig anywhere on Wikipedia. And what it has a list of rules saying if you have an article that's dealing with the time period from 1308 to 1945, you use the name Gdansk. If it's if it's before 1308 and after 1945, you know, then you can use Gdansk. And it goes through, and if someone was born, if they were born at this time, they were that, unless they were ethnic German or so they laid out all the possible permutations, and we had peace. There was our pizza. There was our consensus principle. Oh my God! Don't even want to think about it.
But what it is is that both sides were able to get their point of view across.
Yes.
And both sides recognize that the other one's there, but it's a historical question mark. Mm-hmm. That's like if we totally remove the name from the Polish version. You're making as though that doesn't exist.
Right.
And we know it exists. We just, you know, it's not that I could call it the German name and everyone would know what I'm talking about, but if I'm in Poland, I'm still going to call it by the Polish name.
Right. Okay. It's to get there were cases where certain editors had to be dealt with saying, okay, this editor is not open to compromise. We are removing this editor from this discussion. And so you kind of winnow down the pool of editors that are discussing things to make sure everyone there is discussing in good faith and is capable of compromise. That's an essential part of the Wikipedia dispute process. Yes?
I just had another quick question of sources that I forgot to mention. So when it comes to academic journals, like things on... like PubMed or things like that, where it's a paid subscription journal that you might source.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that? Because I know some public universities, like where I went to school, UMass Amherst, because it was a state school, if you were a citizen of that state or a resident of that state, you could go into the thing and have access to those journals. Mm-hmm. But not everybody is near a university.
Right.
Or not everybody can afford a journal subscription to medical journals or even archaeological or any kind of academic journal. So how do you handle that in terms of sources?
Great question. And you're right. Some journals are hidden behind a paywall. You either have to subscribe or you have to know someone who has subscribed. They are valid sources. In fact, they're great sources on Wikipedia because these journals are usually peer-reviewed up the wazoo. Very, very accurate things. And generally what will happen is, well, first of all, there's this service called JSTOR, J-S-T-O-R, which again, you need a subscription to access JSTOR. But Wikipedia has finally worked out a deal with JSTOR where active Wikipedia editors can go into JSTOR behind the paywall and see these sources. Not all Wikipedia editors, but some that go through a review process can. Also, if you live near a university, you can often go to the university and use their library or use their database. Like Washington University is near where I live in St. Louis, and many times I've gone into WashU and saying, I'm not a student, I'm not faculty, can I use your system to look things up? And they say, yeah, that's a service that they provide. If, however, someone were living in a small town in Oklahoma and they didn't have access to the university, they would probably reach out to another Wikipedia editor. And there's something, I need someone to check this source for whatever reason. And then another editor would step forward and say, okay, I live in Chicago. I have access to the New York Public Library. What can I look up for you? Or sometimes we'll have students or faculty who say, okay, I can get this article, and they'll save a PDF, and then they'll email the PDF to this editor in Oklahoma saying, okay, now read it and do whatever you need to with it. Okay.
How do you handle review and topics when the source is classified?
How do you handle reviewing a topic when the source is classified? I feel like that's a whole another session for the EFF track.
Next session is awesome.
Well, and when WikiLeaks was going on, we had exactly this thing going on, and there was a big debate, and there were classified documents that were publicly available, and there were many articles where exactly that happened, saying, can we use classified information as a source? And not everyone agreed with this, but the consensus was, if this classified source is publicly available, then yes, you can use it, even if it's classified. There were some who disagreed with that. I disagreed with that, because I said, if something's classified, it's classified, and it is illegal to use it. It is illegal to further publicize it. And Wikipedia could get in trouble, because if we're sourcing from classified information on Wikipedia, there are now Wikipedia articles that use classified information. So there's classified information being hosted on the Wikimedia Foundation servers, which means the government, if they wanted to make a stink about that, could go and confiscate those servers for hosting classified information. I think that would cause a really big stink if they did that. And of course, they haven't done that. But the consensus was, if it's available, doesn't matter if it's classified or not.
And you'll know all of a sudden when there's suddenly a page saying no such article.
Right. Yeah. It's and it was there was that boycott that went on when half the internet shut down because
Sofa
we were
paper.
Right. And Wikipedia was one of the places. We didn't shut down, we just put a black screen up. People could get around it. But the screams that went up from high school students around the country that couldn't use Wikipedia to do their homework.
Congressman as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Wikipedia is people see it not just as a fun resource, but almost like a public utility at this point. But it's not.
But Wikipedia is not a public utility.
Right.
And that is what.
But Wikipedia and Google and Bing are not public utilities. They are. If I may say, they are private or public corporations that happen to use the internet as their means of distribution. If they decide that they want to pull their own plug for a day or whatever, they were within their rights to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And if they want to put up for, say, for 24 hours, we are going dark in protest to this mm-hmm. law, we're allowed to do that.
Absolutely.
And that's a great thing.
All right, so we're pretty much out of time. So just anyone who wants to get involved in Wikipedia, be a member of the community. Be aware that there's a community. Create a user page. It doesn't need to give personal information about you. Just, hi, I'm on Wikipedia. I'm really interested in planes, trains, and automobiles. Or just something about yourself. And to build trust with other Wikipedians, you want to participate in multiple topics, show that you're not just focused on one article, which is a flag for self-promotion. Help out with the many cleanup categories that we have, fixing spelling, fixing sources. But in general, don't worry about making everything perfect. In general, be bold. If you see something you want to change, something that needs changing, change it. Worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to get reverted. You're not going to get blocked from Wikipedia for making a good faith edit. If your edit's reverted, okay, go on and edit something else. There's millions of other articles to work on. And I think we did that. There's a whole other thing about if an article's about you, if anyone has that situation, come up and talk to me. I'll definitely be able to give you some advice there. And if a dispute comes up, someone challenges your edit, stay calm and get sources. Sources, sources, sources. The reliable sources, sources with a reputation for fact-checking and accuracy, and get opinions from other editors, and try to find a consensus. If the article isn't your way, but what you want to convey is represented and is sourced, then that's a victory. And it'll be good for our readers if there's multiple viewpoints represented in the article. Don't decide a dispute, describe a dispute. And I think I covered that, multiple times. Anyone who has questions, you can write to me, ilanka@gmail.com, or my user page is userilanka. Feel free to leave a message on my talk page. Thank you.